Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, September 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Imagine not being able to access your stock portfolio for 4 trading days, all while panic is ripping across the world. That's what happened following the attacks of 9/11 nearly 20 years ago, when systems in New York's financial district were knocked offline.
Obviously, people had a lot of other stuff on their minds during the immediate aftermath of 9/11, but for people who wanted to liquidate money market funds to raise cash, that was impossible to do for a couple of days.
So how resilient would stock exchanges be to another attack? And what would it mean for investors? We'll talk with WSJ Markets reporter Alexandra Osipovich about the thick layers of protection that Wall Street has put in place since 9/11 and the new questions about security that come with those changes. That's after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years. A lot has changed, but one thing that remains constant, including the different types of durable income and portfolios, can help investors meet their goals. With expertise across income and alternatives, Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Since the attacks of September 11, 2001, when financial markets were knocked offline for 4 days, Wall Street has undergone a massive security overhaul. But as Americans' investment in stock has skyrocketed in the years since, the wall of security around financial markets has become even more crucial to protecting people's holdings and retirement savings. So what's been done since 9/11, and what new questions about security keep officials up at night? Our markets reporter, Alexandra Osipovich, has been studying this, and he's with us now. Alex, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Alex, can you take us back to 2001 for a moment? What physically happened to force markets to close for 4 days?
So when the Twin Towers collapsed, in addition to causing a great loss of life, it also severed very important communications networks that were used by Wall Street firms. A lot of the phone lines and data lines that connected different banks and brokers to the New York Stock Exchange were severed. Initially, when they decided to close the market on the morning of 9/11, they didn't know this. It was just sort of an uncertain situation. They decided to close down the New York Stock Exchange and other exchanges as a precaution. But then it became clear that there had been all this damage, and it took a while to fix.
So what was it like during those 4 days? You know, what did this mean for investors? Amid the worldwide sense of panic, could they access their accounts and sell positions?
Obviously, people had a lot of other stuff on their minds during the immediate aftermath of 9/11. But for those people who were concerned about their stock positions and things like that, things were basically frozen. You could call up your broker and try to place an order, but generally speaking, orders weren't executed until the markets finally reopened, which happened on Monday, September 17th. There were also some disruptions, for instance, for people who wanted to liquidate money market funds to raise cash. That was impossible to do for a couple of days.
Yeah, in addition to the devastation of the attacks, that must have been another layer of uncertainty for a lot of people. So what protections have been put in place since then?
A lot of things have changed. One big thing that changed was a lot of companies, banks, brokerages, exchanges, moved their systems out of Lower Manhattan. It was commonly the case before 9/11 that you would have a main system and a backup system, but companies would just have both of them in Manhattan, sometimes in the same neighborhood or the same building. It turned out that was not a good idea to if you were dealing with a physical attack with broad damage like 9/11. So now a lot of that stuff was moved out, often to data centers in New Jersey. In addition to that, much of trading back in 2001 still took place on old-fashioned trading floors, the New York Stock Exchange being the best-known example. But now, trading is generally electronic. The NYSE still has a floor, but it frankly doesn't do very much, and most of the action happens in these big data centers that are not in the middle of a big city. They're in sort of suburban, verging onto rural areas of New Jersey, and they are sort of heavily fortified. And so that made the financial industry much less of a target. In addition, the other thing I would say is that the system was sort of redesigned in a way where there is less of a single point of failure. So back in 2001, essentially, if the New York Stock Exchange shut down, you couldn't trade stocks that were listed on the New York Stock Exchange. And it was a similar situation with NASDAQ. Right now, there are a whole bunch of different exchanges, and they effectively act as backups for each other. If one exchange goes down, which can happen in the middle of the day, might happen for an hour or two or just a few minutes, then basically stock orders just get routed to other marketplaces. And it's all kind of baked into the system now, which has generally made the stock market much more resilient.
So has this digitalization and the new way of doing business on Wall Street raised new concerns about security?
So the systems that underpin the U.S. stock market have definitely become more resilient in the face of a physical attack like 9/11. However, there's still some concern out there that they could be subject to a cyber attack, which is very hard to plan for and it's hard to foresee. Potentially, a sophisticated adversary could still take on the financial system and try to cripple it through different means. And this is something that Wall Street and regulators try to test for, but it's obviously very hard to plan for.
Has the system faced any real-world tests since 9/11?
One of the biggest tests that the system faced took place in 2012 when Superstorm Sandy hit New York. There were backup plans in place. Exchanges had set up procedures for failing over to electronic marketplaces so that things wouldn't be dependent on the New York Stock Exchange's floor. But in the rush to the storm and the day before it, as people were planning, basically, the biggest banks on Wall Street decided to shut down. There was sort of concern that people weren't ready for the backup plan. It hadn't really been tested yet. And so Sandy led to a two-day shutdown of the stock market.
So, Alex, what do all these changes to the financial system mean for the everyday investor trading from home?
The average investor can really benefit from the improvements that have been made over the past 20 years. What we basically have now is a seamless market that runs quite well, even during the peak of the coronavirus sell-off when there were very heavy volumes. A lot of systems basically stayed up. It's not perfect because you have these trading apps like Robinhood that can be glitchy and they can go down when there's heavy volume. That's probably the next area where people need to work on improving the systems. But in general, the stock market functions pretty well. You have to worry about whether stocks are going to go up and down, but you can generally count on it not shutting down because there's been a blizzard in New York. So in a world like what we have today, where people are trading from their smartphones and using the internet and digital means of placing trades much more than they did 20 years ago, it's really important to have that sort of stability in the marketplace.
Okay, that's WSJ Markets reporter Alexandra Osipovich. Alex, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks again for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.